In our books, we're gonna continue what we started. Turn to page 15, and we're gonna start reading from "Laid Astray by Others." Gonna do some reading. We're gonna get to the questionnaire. We're gonna ask some questions. The Galatian church, fickle and unstable. 15. And someone please read "Led Astray," the whole thing, please.
Galatia was a large Roman province and carved out of the middle of the Asia Minor. The province received its name from marauding bands of Gauls who migrated from the north west into Greece and Asia some 350 years before New Testament events. Descendants of the original Gauls lived in the area of modern Ankara, the capital of Turkey. Older scholars argue that the instability of the Galatian Christians could be traced to fickle, wandering Gauls, and they reference Lightfoot 13 through 15. When the Galatians left Paul's gospel for another, it was argued that they were being true to character. However, it is doubtful that Paul was addressing ethnic Galatians. The Roman province of Galatia stretched far southward from where the ethnic Gauls lived. When Paul and Barnabas established churches in Antioch near Pisidia, Derbe, Lystra, and Iconium on their first missionary journey, they were preaching in Greco-Roman cities within the territorial bounds of what the Romans called Galatia. It is uncertain at best that Paul ever preached to the ethnic Galatians who lived in the northern part of the province. The Galatian letter, no doubt, is addressed to the cities where Paul had preached on the first missionary journey. Shortly after Paul left the fledgling churches of Galatia, Christians from Judea followed him. They told new converts that they had done well to believe that Jesus was the Christ, but they hadn't gone far enough. They also needed to become Jews. Males needed to be circumcised. They needed to observe dietary rules, the Sabbath day, and yearly celebrations as prescribed in the law of Moses.
Continue.
In order to gain a following among the Galatian Christians, Judaizing teachers had to undermine Paul. They pointed out that they were from Jerusalem, where Jesus had died and the church had come into being. They claimed to have the authority of the Jerusalem apostles behind them. Paul was not one of the 12. He had likely never seen Jesus. He was an upstart, preaching only a partial gospel. The reasoning of false teachers, whether ancient or modern, is often plausible. They wouldn't gain a following unless they made some kind of sense. A good Roman Catholic apologist can put up convincing arguments for the authority of the papacy. A smart Calvinist can make predestination sound convincing. Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, and Jehovah's Witnesses persuade many people to join their ranks. The wise do well to listen carefully and to ask questions. The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. Proverbs 18:17. Galatian Christians allowed false teachers to make their case. Then they bought into the falsehoods. They abandoned Paul, and in the process, abandoned the gospel.
Okay. Proverbs 18:17 teaches that when you first hear something, it sounds good, right? Mm-hmm. But that's why we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. You see, we are, it's a lot of things that sound good up front, right? But it takes one to go back and check it out. Someone get for me Proverbs 18, 17.
Let me rephrase it a little bit. My arguments against my brother were very convincing until he had a chance to speak.
That's Proverbs, isn't it?
That's Proverbs.
See?
That's just redoing.
See, this is the example of studying to show that self-approval unto who? Me, right? Unto God. You see, that's what studying comes from. He was able to what? Quoted without even looking, right?
I rearranged it a little bit.
Just a wee bit, but it was understood, right? Because when we first hear something, especially if it sounds good, when we first hear it, it must be what? Right. Then it coming from Jared too, it must be right because Jared said it, right? It got to be right because Jared know his stuff, but what stops me from what? Going back and seeing what he said is so. Who did that in the New Testament? Mm-hmm. We read about the Bereans.
Well, I was going to mention kind of the same thing because I grew up in the Lutheran church. Mm-hmm. And after I became a Christian and went back to Germany, I was talking to one of the preachers there. And he still insisted, you don't need the Bible. I went to seminary school. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one that understands the Bible. Mm-hmm. And from early childhood, once I understood, you know, that God had inspired the Bible, my question always was, why do I need somebody to interpret it to me if the Bible should be for me to be able to read and distinguish what God has in store for me? Mm-hmm. And they will not budge. They will not budge. It's like you're trying to take something away from them if you insist that everybody should study the Bible for themselves. Mm-hmm. And what impressed me with the Church of Christ the first time I went, I mean, I listened to a sermon and the preacher gives me book, verse, and text for me to go and verify that what he was saying was the fact.
Exactly. That's why, they made more than one Bible.
Yeah.
Right? You know when you look at history about Jim Jones and Koresh, David Koresh, right? Mm-hmm. We actually have footage, right, of them in the assembly. You would see many of them without Bibles.
Yeah.
Are you with me? You would see many of them without Bibles. And it was just like they were just taking what he said because he was who he was.
Yeah.
Are you with me? You know, he's smart, he's debonair, he's rich, right? He know what time it is. So I don't need no Bible. All I gotta do is what? Listen to him. Right? And when you see these footage, right? These people from Jim Jones and Koresh, right, they had no Bibles hardly in the assembly. And look what happened to each one of them. Okay? You see? What happened? You know, they killed themselves. They, you know, they was destroyed. It's like we read in the book of Acts about Thaddeus and this other guy who thought there was something and many people followed them. You know, many followed them, but they went to naught because they followed him, because they thought that that person was somebody. And usually we look at rich folks as being, they know what they're doing. Are you with me?
Well, you know, we're responsible for our own salvation. Mm-hmm. We can't go and say, well, he Brother so-and-so taught me this is what the truth is, and so therefore I follow. This ain't going to work when you stand before the Lord.
Exactly.
You're supposed to, you know, work out your own salvation. Study for yourself. Mm-hmm. Know what you are reading to be the fact.
Exactly. Exactly. We have to study. You know, I saw my aunt right this Wednesday, and you know, I told her to get a Bible. We shared some Bible, right? She said, yeah, you know, she said my Bible's all torn up, right? I said that's because you was using it. Are you with me? That's why it's all ratchet like that, because you was using it. Mm-hmm. Now there are some Bibles in some folks' houses. I'm not saying your house, but the only thing we could elaborate or say about that Bible is that it has dust on it that you hadn't gotten off for a long time. If you move it, you can see the print. Are you with me? Because that Bible hadn't been used, but when it's used, you could tell. Are you with me? And God is looking for folks like that who at least try. Just like I told you before, when I was in school, right? I wouldn't know a student. No, I wouldn't. I wasn't dumb, but I wouldn't know a student either, right? But my teacher, she saw that I was trying. Are you with me? And because I was trying in this particular class, she gave me an E for effort. She saw me trying to pass. Are you with me? And when God sees us at least trying, well, you know, all of us ain't going to be excellent in the book, right? But all we have to do is believe from now on and trust God from now on. Are you with me? And whatever and whoever is up here teaching or preaching, right, you go back and check. You know, you got that right. Are you with me? Go back and check. Okay? Because a lot... Okay. But there are some people, right, who sound real good and you know, I mean, just, you know, that it's almost like you don't have to do no more because that's it. I like that preacher. You remember I told you the story about the lady, the old lady. She came to church every Sunday. She was a faithful member, but she just couldn't remember what the preacher preached about. And she wanted her family to come and get some, right? And this particular Sunday, that preacher preached up a storm, and she went home and she said, "You should have been there. You should have been there. That man preached." She said, "Mom, what did he preach about?" "I don't know what he preached about, but that man preached." Are you with me? "I don't know what he preached about, but that man preached." Are you with me? So it's who we're looking at. You know, what are we seeing? What are we looking at? Okay, led astray by foolish charges. Read the whole thing, anybody.
Paul says nothing about his personal circumstances at the time of his writing Galatians. Consequently, it's difficult to know when he wrote it. The letter is heavy with doctrinal content like Romans, because Romans was written from Corinth on the third journey. Some believe Paul wrote Galatians from Ephesus or Corinth at about the same time he wrote Romans. In that case, several years would have elapsed between Paul's first preaching to the Galatian churches and the writing of the letter to them. However, that conclusion raises some questions. In Acts 15, the apostles and elders in Jerusalem wrote a letter making it clear that adherence to the law of Moses was not required of Gentile Christians because the Judaizing teachers had tried to impose the law on believers. Why Paul did not appeal to the letter from the Jerusalem church, it would have supported his case. Further in Galatians 1:6, Paul's amazement was that his readers had so quickly thrown aside the gospel and reached for a different gospel. Quickly is a relative term, but it's more likely to be used to describe a few months than several years. It's possible that Galatians was written considerably earlier than Romans, perhaps within a few months after Paul and Barnabas returned from Galatia to Antioch. In Acts 14. Perhaps it was written before he and Barnabas traveled through Jerusalem to resolve the issue of circumcision, Acts 15. Arthur F.F. Bruce argues well for an early dating of Galatians and Paul, apostle of the heart set free. Perhaps Paul didn't refer to the letter from Jerusalem church because it had not been written yet. In that case, the trip to Jerusalem Paul refers to in Galatians 2:1 is the same as the one in Acts 11:29-30. Even though the message of grace and salvation Paul had preached in Galatia should have been still fresh in their minds, some Galatians Christians had quickly turned aside. Perhaps they'd not listened to Paul well. Perhaps they didn't immediately recognize what the Judaizers had said laid waste to the gospel. They had made foolish choices. Even their immaturity could not excuse them. It was as if they had been bewitched. The apostle is incredulous. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law? Galatians 3. Having begun by the Spirit, you are now being perfected by the flesh. Verse 3. Two matters were beyond dispute. One, the Galatians had witnessed miraculous signs done through the Spirit, not by adherence to the law. And two, the Old Testament itself bore witness to salvation by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Galatians 3 and Genesis. When Christians turn their backs on the truth of the gospel and demand obedience to the law, they deny the efficacy of the blood of Christ. Paul feared that those who had been saved would lose their life that they had only recently come to share.
Okay. It's like we go back to that one gospel. One gospel. Some people come to hear a gospel. Are you with me? But there's just what? One gospel. Some people come to look for a church. Bible says what? There's one church. Some folks look for a certain faith, a faith. Simple. God said, the book said there's only one faith. Some folks look for a certain Lord. Some people think that, you know, they think that Jesus is here walking around right now. Are you with me? You just haven't met him yet. But we know better than that, don't we? Because when Jesus comes back, he's going to come in the air. And then when he comes in the air, it's going to be some sounds. Are you with me? Like we've never heard before. So we,
and every knee will bow.
And every knee will bow. Are you with me? It's going to be a set. So people who look for a gospel to hear something, right? They're going to hear what that a gospel says. But when they look for the gospel, they're going to what? Hear what the gospel says. Are you with me? And Paul said it like this. He says, if any man bring any other gospel, let him be accursed. And he said it twice. Any man, I don't care who you are, rich, poor, good looking, whoever you are, right? If you bring any other gospel, let that man be accursed. They was interested in hearing things with the tickling ear. Somebody get 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and begin to read. From what chapter? 2 Timothy 4, 1 through maybe 4.
I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching.
Verse 3 is that's the important verse to hear.
For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching.
Okay, you see that? It's the time is now, right? This was saying that it will come, but that time is right now. When they will not, it don't make sense that particular gospel, the gospel, it just don't make sense, right? You can't have no fun, you can't drink, you can't get high, you can't fornicate, because, you know, you can't do nothing, right? But the gospel, right? The gospel is what we need. It's just like medication, right? You may have been taking this medication for this illness, right? But it's a certain medicine that you're supposed to be taking for this illness. If you don't take it, it's gonna get worse. Are you with me? So you should take what is best for you to take. Continue, Reese's.
For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But having itching ears, mm-hmm. they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions.
You see, they would have that itch. They're looking for somebody to tell them something that they want to hear. You know, somebody, especially if that man is rich, if he got a yacht, that man got a yacht, he got his own plane. Are you with me? He owned this and that. He got a house in Florida. He got a house in the Bahamas. He got a house in California. This man know his stuff, right? So that's who I'm going to work, because I want to be just like that man. See, I want to be just like him. I want to have stuff just like him, right? So I'm gonna, you know, whatever he says, it must be right because he got it going on. We'll continue to read.
And we'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into this.
Exactly. They will turn away from what's right. They will turn away from the gospel and turn to a gospel which is better for them.
It's a gospel of their choosing.
Yes.
You know, I've heard it so many. I have a cousin. I've brought her to the Church of Christ, trying to convince her that this is where you need to be. And she said, well, I need to go to a church where I'm comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they said.
Were you comfortable? You mm-hmm. should go to a church where mm-hmm. they teach you the truth.
Exactly. Because, see, you know, I'm 80-something years old, and I just can't see myself going up there being baptized. I'm going to go to that church where they say, you know, all you got to do is wave your hands and say amen or whatever, and you say, that is not the gospel. That's a gospel. Are you with me? What Paul was saying, he's speaking about a gospel. If any man bring any other gospel, right? But there's the gospel. One. The gospel. Right? Go ahead.
Galatians 1:8 it says, but though we are an angel from heaven. I thought that was
powerful.
Even an angel.
Exactly.
Not the gospel. Your
it don't matter who bring that other gospel, let him be a curse. You know about the angel who brought another gospel, that was who? Lucifer. Are you with me? He brought another gospel, and he brought it to once again Eve. Don't get mad at me and their sisters. That's not you, remember? But that gospel was not the gospel. The gospel. That was not the gospel. The gospel was what God had told them. Faith come by hearing. Hearing come by the word of who? Kenny Patterson. God. It comes by God. And what God says, that's the truth. But having an itching ear like the Galatians, they wanted something that, you know, wasn't too hard to do. You know, something that was simple. You know, you got to go through all that. You know, you got to. You remember one time when we met Sunday morning, Sunday evening, we met Wednesday evening, and then if you want to, we meet on Thursday, right, Jared? Wasn't it Thursday one time? You see, and I know another congregation who meet every night. They have different ministries who meet, but they have Bible study, the regular Bible studies on Wednesday morning and Wednesday evening, but they have different ministries, right? A huge congregation that had different ministries, and if this ministry is on Monday, the ministry folks come, and whoever else want to come. If they got this ministry on Tuesday, the ministry people of this ministry come, and whoever else want to come. And the church would be filled up like every day. Mm-hmm. But what happened? COVID, right? Which the Bible told us about COVID, right? It happened. And it kind of like took the air out of, it was like a faith test, to test to see who is real and who is not real. You see, the real folks are right in here right now, because that didn't, but hear me now, please hear me, right? And those folks who not real, they stay at home. Because they can listen to it on the what? What do you call it? The what?
Live stream,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right. We got to realize also, brother, that people, we notice, but we tend to not think about it as much. Mm-hmm. The devil don't ever stop working.
Exactly.
You know, God, we know and we say and we tell others, God is always here, God is always there, God is always around, He's everywhere. God is always watching out for you, God is always providing for you, God is always going to... Not that we're building the devil up, but we have to be aware that the devil is always there too. Mm-hmm. And the devil is always constantly... The scripture says that he's there 24/7.
Yes.
Always trying to seek who he can devour. Mm-hmm. He don't take a break either. Even when you sleep, he'll come to your dreams and give you weird, crazy dreams. Mm-hmm. And you wonder where it comes from, but then you wake up and that kind of stuff be on your mind and you go through the day and start having bad days and different problems come up. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, Lord, why me? Why this? Why that? That's his work that he's doing to distract, to lead you off the path of righteousness. Mm-hmm. Anything that's a smoke screen. That's why we're supposed to study, he said, to show ourselves proof, mm-hmm. so we can know and be aware, so we can say, get behind me, Satan.
Mm-hmm. You know? Get. And don't say, please, Satan, will you please leave? Get.
Yeah.
Satan, get on. Mm-hmm. Get away from me. That's how it's supposed to be.
That's right.
Are you with me? And you mean that. I mean it. Get away from me. Mm-hmm. Not, please leave. No. Make him know that you don't want him around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you are pleading with the devil, mm-hmm. he say, please. Mm-hmm. He's going to leave a calling card with you.
Exactly, because he think he could come back.
That's right. He, mm-hmm. You know, so again, it's a matter of attitude and also of clear understanding who rules your life. Mm-hmm. It's either going to be God or going to be something else. Your choice. Mm-hmm. Your choice. And we know that there is no one or anything more powerful than God, our Savior, period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unless you let him in.
Exactly.
And be quick to always, when you say Satan, get out, quickly put something in there to replace that. Mm-hmm. Whether it be a song, a mm-hmm. verse, a Bible scripture, like Tom was saying on Wednesday night, was such a good lesson, that Philippians 4 was what helped him through the roughest time in college. Mm-hmm. It's keep a verse that you can grab hold of. And mm-hmm. Satan does not want to hear that. Mm-hmm. He will get out faster than you can shake a stick. Mm-hmm. But you've got to remember, when you tell Satan to get out of your mind or your heart or your thinking or whatever you're doing, quickly fill it with something that in scripture that will keep him away, mm-hmm. and not just rely on yourself. Mm-hmm. Let the Lord fill your heart. If you've got a verse nearby, always keep that armor on. Keep that verses and songs, whatever it is, in there at handy, because he's going to come back if you leave it empty.
Also, we have a great resource, prayer, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if it's something that's so egregious or you're suffering badly and you feel weakened, call your brother or sister.
Amen. For you.
We can call. We got to put it on speed dial. Text them. I need help. I need some guidance. I need the brethren. I need the sisters. please pray for me, pray mm-hmm. with me, mm-hmm. Because we're all in this together.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad to hear that we can tell Satan, you know, get, because this is something that I have been starting to use. If things pop into my mind, I will say, you need to get away from me. I don't belong to you, mm-hmm. you know. And it will cease, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean it's not going to come back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you have to be on the ball, yes. so to say, mm-hmm. to realize what's happening within you. Mm-hmm. And to realize you have that authority from God to tell Satan, get away. And he will.
He will flee.
The devil. Resist him, and he will flee. Don't go along with him. Don't think you can beat Satan, because you can't.
Nope.
That's Jesus' job. Our job is to trust in God's grace. Trust him, right? You know, we're going to put some gloves on, you know, and try to... That's what he wants us to do, mm-hmm. right? And you know, I remember... When I was a kid, right, the guy, it was a bully, right? He had hit me, right? And he knew I didn't like to take the last, you know. He was in the neighborhood, right? And you know, taking the last lick, you know, you run a man down, you know, to get him back, right? So this bully hit me. Right, and ran, right, and I took off behind him, right, and he ran slow enough for me to, you know, kind of like almost got it. Got round the block, I caught up with him, and he told me all the pieces. Are you with me? I caught him. He wanted me to what? Catch him.
Yeah.
Are you with me? He ran slow enough. Are y'all with me? Mm-hmm. He ran slow enough. Are you with me? I got him now, right? I'm going to get that lick back, you know. Mm-hmm. I got him now, right? And he ran slow enough till he turned the corner where nobody could see, right? Mm-hmm. And he let me catch him, Jerry. And he whooped me bad. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. I went screaming running home. Are you with me? And that's how Satan is. He want you to come out there by yourself and fight him. He going to make it look like you can win. Right? I know you used to drink. Come on and just go to the bar. You know, just sit down. Everybody eating wings and looking at the game. That's all you got to do. Come on. Are you with me? And he would get you into that, right? And then you get one of those hot wings, and some about a beer after that, right? You go in straight walking, you come in out, you know, all wiggly walking, right? But that's what Satan wants. He wants us to fight him. We can't fight him. We have to let God fight him. Yeah. The Bible teaches us in our the first book, Genesis, it says, God told Cain, it says, Cain, Satan is at what? At your door. Sin is at your door. Satan sin. Sin is at your door. Are you with me? In Revelation, it says, Jesus is at the door. And not. So, like you said, Satan is everywhere. He's here right now. Are you with me? You know, somebody look like they were sitting by you. It might be sitting by you, right? Are you with me? He might be in you. You might have came with him, brought him here. Are you with me? You know, because sometimes we have this stuff all heavy on our minds and hearts, right? Or we just got a juicy argument or something, right? And we could bring that to church and, you know, so forth and so forth. But anyway, resist him, because we have to realize that sin is at our door and Jesus is at our door. We got to know the difference. We got to know if it's Jesus or we got to know if it's Satan. And we ought to know because we studied.
We also have to remember that we're not the only ones fighting against Satan. We have the angels of God fighting along with us. Mm-hmm. In Daniel 10, 20 through 21, it talks about the archangel Michael, mm-hmm. that is the main force between good and evil, and standing and battling along with us. So we're not the only ones. We have sources we can go to. We can ask God for assistance. We can ask a brother or a sister mm-hmm. to pray along with
exactly.
us, as Chuck was saying. God has not left us on our own to mm-hmm. do the battle. Mm-hmm. There is other forces that we can mm-hmm. rely on and go to for assistance.
Even in this, in the United States, it says, united we stand, divided we fall. In scriptures, it teaches us that a house divided will fall. Right? But a house, in other words, a house that's not divided will stand.
Yeah.
Are you with me? And when we ask for prayer, we have to recognize that if we need prayer, ask our brothers and sisters. Don't go out there and ask somebody who's not a praying person. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Are you with me? There's some righteous people in here, and there's some not so righteous people. Are you with me? Some people are getting that. But you ask for prayer, and those not so righteous, they come together anyhow and pray. You know, just because you're not so righteous, say, well, I can't pray for nobody, so could you call Jerry? Because you ought to be able to pray. Just like I said before, if nobody else prayed for you, you ought to be able to what? Pray for yourself. And remember that. Just make sure you get in that relationship with God, that He would hear you. You need to get that relationship. You need to keep it. You don't put it down. Just like the brother was saying about the armor. It said keep the whole armor on. It may get kind of hot sometimes. Are you with me? You may go some places that people will say, take that armor off. If you want to hang with us, you got to take that off. You say, well, I can't hang with you. Anyway, let's read. Led astray by the flesh. Anybody?
To the degree that the Galatians embraced the law of Moses, they depended on their own righteousness to save them. Mm-hmm. Such trust in the elemental spirit of the world. Galatians 4:3 amounted to sowing the flesh. Sowing to the flesh wears many faces. It can be self-righteousness as easily as it can be idolatry or sensuality. All sin has this in common. It is assertion of self above humble trust in God. Sin is lawlessness. 1 John 3:4 Ironic as it is, one from the lawlessness is to trust in one's faithfulness to the law as a means of standing whole and righteous before God. Paul's enemies among Judaizing teachers argued that the logical extension of Paul's doctrine, salvation by grace through faith, was abandoned of law. Everything was allowed. Let us sin and grace will abound, they said, Romans 3:8-6:1 Paul was incensed at the thought, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. He says, Galatians 6:8 One sows to the flesh when he depends on his obedience to the law to save him. Conversely, one sows to the flesh when he appeals to God's grace to excuse his sin. Life under the umbrella of God's grace means that one depends on the blood of Christ for the redemption. It means that one rejects sensuality, violence, and greed. It means that he treats his fellow men, especially his Christian neighbors, with kindness, generosity, and goodwill. To live any other way is to be led astray by the flesh.
Exactly. And I like it says, grace, people appeal to God for them to excuse the sin. When we ask for forgiveness, we don't ask God to excuse us. We ask for forgiveness and say, Lord, help me not to sin no more. Are you with me? When we look, you remember David, right? David, he he got caught. And that's why he was sorry. Are you with me? Because he got caught. Now, think about it. If he never got caught, if Nathan didn't come and tell him, he probably would have tried it again a better way. Are you with me? There must be a better way of doing wrong. So, you know, but he was cut off by a man from God who told him, you know, you what you've done was wrong. Are you with me? What you've done was wrong. And you know, and a lot of people, especially in the church, right, who's about the flesh, right, they get married because of the flesh. We spoke about this before, right? If you get married because of the flesh, you need to come out of that. Because like I said, one thing about the flesh, the Bible is warning us about the flesh anyway, one thing about the flesh, it ain't going to last. You might marry a good-looking woman, right? But it ain't going to last. And what happened when she's not so good-looking? Then what? You might marry, you get married to just to marry a good-looking man. When that man stopped not looking so good, then what you got? Are you with me? You know, you be thinking, and then every good-looking man you run into, your eyes can't get off of him. Every good-looking woman you know, yeah, I just can't, you know, your wife has to tell you, say, you know, cool out now, right? But my eyes just, you know, ain't gonna blame it on the eyes, right? But anyway, but the flesh, when we rely on the flesh, we got to remember one thing, that the flesh ain't gonna be here that long. It's not gonna be here that long. So don't rely on the flesh, because the flesh is going to leave. Are you with me? But the spirit is going to hang around, and the spirit is going somewhere. The flesh is going back to the dust. You know, the flesh ain't, you know. But we have to, you know, it's very important to not be led by the flesh, because the flesh leads you to lust. You know, it leads you, it's just like I said, you want to marry somebody who got a lot of money. Are you with me? I was looking at a show for a little while now, anyway, with this young girl, right? Young. She had this old man, right? And this is what happened, right? Someone came to the guy and said, you know, he says, you know she don't love you, right? He said he don't care. Are you with me? She's just, you know, she's just my wife just to keep me going, you know. Are you with me? A man old enough to be her great-granddad, probably. But she marries him for his money. Are you with me? And he's happy with her because she's just, you know, just around. Are you with me? And every time he go to sleep, she go out. But anyway... Anyway, conclusion.
The balance between openness to change and stability is a delicate one. No one can be saved unless he opens his mind to the message of Christ. Mm-hmm. No one will live faithfully in Christ unless he has sound judgment and the perseverance to resist false doctrine and appeal to the flesh. Mm-hmm. A tempted faith, subject to every teacher with a new idea, is path to ruin. The Galatian Christians lack stability. Christians will find stability to the degree that they study, reflect on, and adhere to the gospel taught by Paul and other apostles who were guided by the Spirit of truth.
Amen. That stick to that one gospel. You know, that old story. Are you with me? That one gospel, right? Because there is no other gospel than that one gospel. Are you with me? There's no other Christ. It says, like I said before, if anybody, the Bible teaches, if anybody come to you and say they are Christ, don't listen to it, right? Because we know that Christ, once again, Christ is not going to come back on this earth right now. When he comes back, it's going to be in the air, and it's going to be some noise that we never heard before. Are you listening? You know, it ain't going to be no, you know, beautiful. Yeah, I don't know how it is, but it ain't going to be nothing that we heard before. Okay? All right. So, you know, living, you know, have to be careful about that flesh. And it's like I said, it's one gospel, just one. That's all it is one gospel, the gospel of Christ. There's no other gospel. If any man bring any other gospel, even the angels, like the sister said, and the Bible said, if the angels bring any other gospel, let him be accursed. Okay, the questions. First question, where was the Roman providence of Galatia? Look at that. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, ma'am. I could tear up my paper. Okay. Who were the people who gave their name to the province?
The Gauls.
How is the beginning and ending of Galatia different from most of Paul's letter?
He started out scolding and ended with encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like a warm and fuzzy, my fellow is nothing.
Mm-hmm. And then it's turned out to be, amen. Okay. All right. Number four. What were the Greco-Roman cities where the Christians lived to whom Paul probably addressed Galatia?
South province, wasn't it?
Hmm?
They lived in the South province.
Okay. And what were the Greco-Roman cities? What were the cities?
The city of
Derby.
On the first missionary journey.
Yeah, in Iconium. Exactly. Okay, number five. What kind of things did the Judaizing teachers say about Paul in order to cast doubt on his authority?
He wasn't an apostle.
Exactly. Yeah, you were late coming. You know, the apostles, they was to us already. You come, you know, you don't need to come and retell us, you know, so forth and so on, but they had to be glad that he did. Six, if Galatia was written before Paul's trip to Jerusalem, described in Acts 15, what trip is Paul talking about in Galatians 2 and 1? Okay. The trip to Jerusalem. Amen. Okay. 7. What did the church in Jerusalem do in order to affirm that Gentile believers were not under obligation to keep the law of Moses?
They wrote a letter.
A letter. All right. 8. What Old Testament character is Paul talking about when he writes that he believed God and it was counted of him for righteousness?
Abraham.
What charges did Judaizers bring against Paul because he taught that salvation was by faith in Christ?
He abandoned the law.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Number 10. What does all sin have in common?
Self-righteousness.
Death. So into the flesh. Okay. Why was the message of the Judaizing teachers an intolerable compromise of the gospel message?
It was different than what the gospel was preaching.
Exactly. It wasn't true. And it wasn't exactly. What reasons? Huh? Time is up already. Ooh. See, when you're having fun, what happened? So that's what I say to you. We ain't got but a little bit of time, so use it wisely. All right.
Thank you for the glass.